The Veteran Next Door. Here's your host, Randall Baxter.
Welcome to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter. Have you ever wondered why soldiers don't talk about their experiences after they've returned from war? We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. But first, our topic today is the 76th Infantry Division of the United States Army. It was activated in 1942. And went overseas on December 10th, 1944. They left right at about the same time as the Battle of Bulge was getting ready to start. Their campaigns were in the Ardennes, Alsace, the Rhineland, and Central Europe. The soldiers in the division were in combat for 107 days. They had two Distinguished Unit Citations. Their training and activation began in April 1943 in Virginia, but their winter training in September of 1943 was in Wisconsin. They used skis, snowshoes, toboggans, snow tractors, snow goggles, winter camouflage suits, Eskimo parkas. They knew they weren't going to the South Pacific. The 76th Infantry Division arrived in England on the 20th of December, after 10 days at sea and a brief stop in Plymouth, where it received additional training. Then it landed in France and marched for a while. They proceeded to a place called the Limousin Concentration Area, then to Bain, east of Reims, and then to Champlon, Belgium. It took them 2 weeks to get there. And then they started preparing for combat. They did that by relieving the 87th Division in defensive positions along the Sauer and Moselle Rivers in the vicinity of Echternach, Luxembourg. On the 25th of January, in the middle of winter, they had to cross the Echternach River. Then they ran into the Siegfried Line. If you know about that, this is when the German soldiers had been chased out of France and now were fighting on their own soil, and they became tougher and meaner. The advance continued across two more rivers. And in mid-February, the 76th Division conquered two fortresses and pushed on toward a town called Trier, where they had to charge across a bridge with German soldiers shooting at them on the other side. They crossed another river. They took three more towns. Then they swung south and cleared the area north of the Moselle, crossing another river on March 18th. Moving to the Rhine, the 76th took over defenses from Beaupard to Saint-Gore and crossed the Rhine at Beaupard on March 27th. It drove east and took Cambert in a house-to-house struggle. That was the 29th of March. A new attack was launched on April 4th, and they crossed another river, and the attack continued in conjunction with the 6th Armored Division. Some more towns fell. Another river was crossed. And a town called Zietz was captured after a violent struggle on April 14th and 15th. And on the 76th, they reached another river and went into defensive positions to hold a bridgehead across the Mulde near Chemnitz until Victory in Europe Day. Well, that was a lot, wasn't it? 105 days in battle. And all this happened while Charles Beale was in his 19th year of life. We'll talk about that in a minute. This is The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book. World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half. Soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor. And read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. I get emails from people that said they've bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323, or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or call 865-525-2323. Or you can pick them up at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. Copies can be purchased as individual shows, multiple copies of the same show, or as a series. What better way to share time with the kids than by listening to the experiences of people who actually lived through historic events, like the Battle of the Bulge, World War I, Knoxville during the Civil War, Vietnam as told by soldiers who were there, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Afghanistan, and Islam in the 20th century. Each show is hosted by the Veteran Next Door host, Randy Baxter, describing the history-making events and introducing you to people who experienced the event firsthand. Purchase the shows one at a time or in sets by topic or mix and match to suit your learning need. For a list of available shows, call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Are you a licensed life insurance agent anywhere in the United States? Are you a Medicare specialist, final expense agent, captive agent, or independent broker? I have a software package that you're going to want. It's by Estate Docs Pro, and it allows you to establish a revocable living trust for your clients, and you become their go-to person for estate planning and financial planning. You can get a free 30-day trial of this software with training, and all you have to do is ask. You can call me at 865-525-2323, or you can email me at randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com or www.estatepositioningservices.com. Get your 30-day trial, get your training on how to set this up, and watch your income go up. Remember, there's absolutely no cost to you as the agent to learn this software program. No commitment, no obligation. But once you see how it works, you're going to be glad you made the call. Call 865-525-2323 or get in touch with Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Now back to The Veteran Next Door.
Welcome back. This is The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter. Our guest today is Charles Beale. He lives in East Knoxville, and about 65 years ago, He was with the 76th Infantry Division in the United States Army. And what we're going to hear in the next few minutes is a conversation that we have about his experiences there. Just to catch you listeners up on where we are right now, Private Bill had just taken a long trip across the Atlantic Ocean and had landed in France, and for 2 weeks had been traveling across France until he had gotten to Luxembourg. And then they were unloaded and handed their gear, and their leader pointed at a mountain.
And they said, "Now, man, you're going to have to carry everything you got to hope top that mountain up there." And we had a pack of everything we had on our back, plus we had a thing for all of our clothes.
So you had to carry your clothes, your food, your ammunition, your weapon, everything.
We had to go all the way through the town and turned around and up a big steep hill, and on top of it, it started snowing on us.
Started snowing?
Yeah. And anyhow, they said it won't be long. The trucks come get you. Well, it was a day and a half before they come around and got us. But we were in there, and we had snow that deep. And we take time back sleeping in a little hay we had.
Mm-hmm.
It's always two for two.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep for 2 minutes or 2 hours, and your buddy comes back and swap with you.
Mm-hmm.
But we went out to schools and stole, got the chairs and things like that to make fires out of.
Well, you had to stay warm.
Yeah.
So y'all took time, y'all traveled in partners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always stayed together. You always knew where your buddy was. He knew where I was. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If one of you's not there, then you've got to go report him. And
you're reporting missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyhow, you get your new buddy.
New buddy, huh? Well, now, were they all from Tennessee, or were they from just all over?
All over. Most of them are Yankees.
They were?
Yeah.
Well, there's more Yankees than the rest of us.
I reckon, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
They trained us pretty good, but it got pretty rough sometimes. We finally left there and got a truck open. We put our gear in the back of the truck and sat on top of the gear.
Mm-hmm.
And that snow still followed.
Wow.
And driving up through there, and the tree limbs were hitting us, and we couldn't get down in there because we had it loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got away up in China. Where did I stay a while ago?
Well, you were in France, if you're in Cherbourg, going up a mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into Bastogne?
We went through so many things, so many different ones, I couldn't tell you exactly.
Well, did you walk in, or did they ship you in by truck, or do you remember?
In by truck.
In by truck?
Yeah. And then we had to walk a while and ride a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, we really didn't get into fighting till we got right up close to Germany, and then that's when he really got serious.
Yeah.
We had one time, we had the Germans across from the river, got over there. So that's a real river, right over there. We were over here. And I see a German walking over, and he'd look over at you, and he'd wave at you, and you wave at him, and pew! We afraid he was each of us going to shoot the other one.
Well,
then the women know we're going to come out to fight.
Mm-hmm.
They know that. So they go out in the woods and find a tree and hang a white something over it,
mm-hmm.
and make them a place in there to stay while we're fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the fighting's over, well, they go back to their house.
Did you know where they were? That just the local civilians would get out of the way so y'all could fight?
Yeah. Yeah, they would put that white stuff up there. So,
mm-hmm. so you'd see it.
And the Germans honored it, so they stayed away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't be shooting at them in the city. Although we did destroy cities, too.
Mm-hmm.
We went to one city over there that had an old man, an old woman, the only house left standing. dressed in a way up around the mountain in underneath the white stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the captain in charge of the outfit, I said, let me go in there and look around. And he said, go in there and take another man and search the house. So I did, and I come back out, and I said, Captain, there's an old man and an old woman. And I said, they were real old. I said, they need to stay down that basement. No. Get them out of here. And still snowing.
Mm-hmm.
So they made me do it. I had to go in there and tell them I had to leave. And I helped them get a baby buggy and a bank thing, something to kind of keep warm
mm-hmm.
in it, and a hat, maybe a jacket. And I helped them out on the road, and the poor old people, they just barely could push that buggy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take any food with them.
Well, you might have saved their life by getting them to leave. Maybe, you don't know, do you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, because we moved out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we coming in there, open space alongside both sides of the road. And the people that went in there ahead of us had killed Germans all up and down the two roads.
Mm-hmm. So when you all were moving through, they were on the sides of the road?
Yeah.
Although we had to kill them too, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, when we invaded Germany, we had to paddle across the river, and the Germans were in there shooting everything at us. I mean, they were just letting us have it right and left. And we got across, lost a lot of our men. Trouble was, we had always, I'd have six hand grenades, two here, and two here. And about everyone else did, too. And then you got all your other paraphernalia on you, and you can't swim with all that stuff on you.
No.
And they went straight down.
Oh.
When those shells hit one of those boats, the little boats we had, it's made out of little wood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they went straight down, and they did too.
So the boats you all were crossing the river in, when they got hit, the people in the boat had so much weight and their and equipment that they drowned.
Yeah. We got across there, and trouble was my outfit, the people with me, didn't know a thing about paddling a boat. So we went down the river away from everybody. So we got over, we go round and round and round, and
mm-hmm.
you don't have to paddle nothing else.
You have to coordinate, don't you?
So we got over there and started paddling the boat to the bank. Got out, and it's dark. You can't see your hand in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got two hands full of machine gun ammunition,
mm-hmm.
plus my rifle up here and all my other stuff. So I got out there and fell in a hole. I mean, it must have been a big shell hole. And it's still dark, so you can't see nothing. And when I started to fall, I just turned loose of that and reached out to the ground. And like I say, it's dark. And then I had to find my helmet. My rifle was upside down, and much mud was in the barrel as a week before I could ever shoot my gun.
A week?
Yeah. So anyhow, I got up and got to searching for the for my stuff. Finally, I paddled around my hand like that and found my helmet. And I'd find the ammunition. I found another ammunition.
Get my phone down here.
Okay, yeah.
And I got up, got everything ready, and looked around everybody. Where'd he go? You don't holler. You don't talk to nobody.
Yeah, your unit had already gone.
Yeah, and it's all dark. So dark, I didn't know where they went. But now I looked up on the side of the mountain, and there's a fork in the trees up there like this. See right between the fork.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, that must be the way to go. The trail must be through there. I got on it, and sure enough, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on up there, and I got the first man that was behind, last man, and I got to call him my name. When every time I passed a man, I'd call one of my man's name. And somehow or another, I missed him, or he missed me, and I went all the way to the first man,
uh-huh.
The man that was leading the whole thing. He was almost atop the mountain. And then I started calling them as they come by me, and I found my man. But anyhow, we got up there and got to fighting. Oh, we had a hellish fight. And we lost a lot of men. We'd run and run and run, and they had us surrounded. But anyhow, we managed to get away from them, and finally got enough men down that the German between us and our people got scared and run and left us up there. But they had, first of all, they got around us to where we couldn't get out. No food or nothing. They dropped the food to us by plane to the Germans.
Oh, yeah, that happened a lot. Huh.
But we went to the city of Trier. I've got pictures of it here somewhere. Trier. I don't know just
where. Trier, T-R-I-E-R-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had to run across the bridge to get to the house, to the buildings, and they were shooting at us. We had to get over there, and we lost a lot of men. But we took the city of Trier, and we went to this side of the city where there wasn't much houses or nothing, you know, and we were standing right over there talking, and a bullet came from up on top of the mountain up there, and my buddy next to me got it through the neck and killed him, and another buddy was right down here. We were within that thing to beat every one of us close together. And we grabbed it, but it was wounded. He grabbed his legs. Said, they got me in the leg. So we took him around the side of the building where they couldn't shoot at us. And it had gone through a breeched leg sideways and hit his leg like that.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't do more than bleed it a little bit.
Really? Well, he's lucky.
Yeah.
Huh.
So we got out of that, and we just got scattered here and there and everywhere.
And we'll be back with more from Charles Beal in a few minutes. This is The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book. World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half, soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor. And read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift. for birthdays, anniversaries. You know, I get emails from people that said they've bought and read the book, and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323, or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or call 865-525-2323. Or you can pick them up at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. Copies can be purchased as individual shows, multiple copies of the same show, or as a series. What better way to share time with the kids than by listening to the experiences of people who actually lived through historic events, like the Battle of the Bulge, World War I, Knoxville during the Civil War, Vietnam as told by soldiers who were there, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Afghanistan, and Islam in the 20th century. Each show is hosted by the Veteran Next Door host, Randy Baxter, describing the history-making events and introducing you to people who experienced the event firsthand. Purchase the shows one at a time or in sets by topic or mix and match to suit your learning needs. For a list of available shows, call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Are you a licensed life insurance agent anywhere in the United States? Are you a Medicare specialist, final expense agent, captive agent, or independent broker? I have a software package that you're going to want. It's by Estate Docs Pro, and it allows you to establish a revocable living trust for your clients, and you become their go-to person for estate planning and financial planning. You can get a free 30-day trial of this software with training, and all you have to do is ask. You can call me at 865-525-2323, or you can email me at randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com or www.estatepositioningservices.com. Get your 30-day trial, get your training on how to set this up, and watch your income go up. Remember, there's absolutely no cost to you as the agent to learn this software program. No commitment, no obligation. But once you see how it works, you're going to be glad you made the call. Call 865-525-2323 or get in touch with Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Now back to the Veteran Next Door.
Welcome back to the Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we're talking to Charles Beal about his experiences during World War II. But before we go too deep into that, it's time for a couple of Willie and Joe moments. And I have selected these cartoons particularly today just because of Mr. Beal's experiences. But as you remember, Bill Mauldin wrote a book, Bill Mauldin's Army, and he just did cartoons about the experiences of the World War II infantryman. And one of the things that you're going to learn here in a few minutes is how dangerous it was to cross the rivers in Germany. The soldiers were loaded down with so much gear that if they actually did go into water over their head, the gear would sink them to the bottom and they would drown. So it was a pretty serious item, but Bill Mauldin captured that in one of his cartoons where a boat was going across the river and it was snowing and bombs were blasting everywhere and tracers were coming in and all the soldiers were heading toward the beach, and they all had dented helmets, and Willie turns over to Joe before they get to land, and he says, "Joe, try to say something funny." But also the infantryman had to dig a lot of foxholes, and they were proud of their foxholes. And there's a couple things you need to be aware of that Bill Mauldin was talking about here. There's one story in here where Willie and Joe were in a foxhole, and trees are falling, and limbs are getting shot up, and all of a sudden, Willie starts crawling out of his hole, and Joe's looking at him, and Willie turns around to Joe and says, "Wish to heck I wasn't house broke." Then there's another one that I think you might enjoy. And it's got Willie and Joe. They've been running across the field, and they got to their foxhole. Joe's wiping the sweat off his brow, and Willie's looking up at him, and Willie says, "I made it, Joe. I owe you another $50. But anyway, when they capture these moments, it's hard to think about the soldiers actually lived it. So let's go back and listen to what Charles Beal has to say.
Well, they got us one time off into a wild place. And we'd run the Germans out here, run them over here, run them over here. All of a sudden they said, "Halt." So stop and dig in. we're going to have a Germans go come back on us. Me and my buddy dug a hole. It was a nice one. Best hole we'd ever had.
The best hole you'd ever had.
Yeah, man. We dug that hole, and you could stand up in it and couldn't be seen. But we left a little place over there to stand up where you could stand there just and shoot out on top.
Uh-huh.
But then you put a lens over the top of the thing, and then put dirt on top of that, and it looked like part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy says, and we've been there all night doing that.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy says, tell you what, I'm going to go here, lay down here, and everything was 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to sleep for 2 hours, and I'd take over 2 hours. Anyhow, it didn't work because they called and said, get out of here. They're going to have a German to come back on us. And we didn't get to sleep at all.
So you worked all night long on the best hole you ever had and got run out of it before you had time to sleep in it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Willie and Joe moment. Do you remember the cartoon Willie and Joe?
Yeah.
Bill Malden did a lot of cartoons about Willie and Joe and digging their foxholes and those kind of things. So you just had a Willie and Joe moment there.
Yeah.
Well, then what else can you remember? Did you ever see any prisoners of war?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see German prisoners of war?
Yeah, sure did.
Did you see American prisoners of war?
One of our men was told to take 3 German prisoners back and turn them over to somebody behind us.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't gone long. We heard 3 shots.
Oh, really?
He come back and said they tried to run away, but he just killed him.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know what was in his mind. You know, you don't know if somebody in his family had been killed by a German soldier, or you know, the guy probably never intended to be a murderer. He was just a young man, a soldier, and scared and hurt and mad and didn't know what was going to come on. And you know, when you say that you heard 3 shots, you know, I'm not saying that was a good thing to do, but you don't know what you, I guess you don't know what you would do if you were.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, sir. You had no idea. We got pinned in at that. We took 3 pillboxes. One, I was in this one here, and our man was up there in this one. Another group of our men is in this one. And the next one, the press full of Germans. So they had us, there's so many of them, we couldn't do nothing. We just had to stay in our pillboxes. And after a while we would run out of water, and there was a hole out there in front of our pillbox. It had a German shoulder and head in it. And one of our sergeants was out there dead, and they began to swell, bodies there. But we'd go out there where that German was, that pit hole, and dip it there and get some water and take it back to inside there, because we stayed 2 minutes, they'd kill us.
Mm-hmm.
We even run back and get in our pillbox and put pills in it and let it set till the mud settled to the bottom of it, and we could drink it. But there too, we had 2 guys in there that had been fighting with us all the time, but they hadn't been hit or nothing, and they said they found a bucket. We're going to go get some water. So it's just springs right down there. We all knew where the spring was, but it's been wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could see you. So we kept trying to tell them to stay. Don't go. But they went by far near the street. 1 shell from .88 got them.
They were so thirsty that they were willing to risk their lives for a drink of water.
We told them, said, you're going to get killed. Oh, no, said, they've been shooting at us for weeks, for days now, and they can't hit us.
They can't hit us?
Yeah. Killed them.
Oh, my gosh.
But then it come time that we had to move out. So we come out of our pillboxes, and a young boy next to us got out there, and he got shot. I forgot what hit him, but he fell down, and the road was about that far below the ground level. And this guy that got shot was there, and his buddy came up there to help him. So he took his helmet off, and got down on hands and knees and was trying to doctor him. And another shell busted and took the top of his head off right here. Just looked like he'd take a knife and cut it up.
Yeah.
And then the brains just poured out. And he was on his knees and hands, and his body stayed that way, froze that way.
Froze that way.
Yeah. So we, well, make a short story about him. We come back there. I took a sergeant. Sergeant got wounded in the hip, a leg. And I taken him back to get him taken care of. And this boy, body was still there on his hands and knees, right where they were getting shot. Where he took the top of his head.
Quit moving, didn't he?
Yeah, but they, we was fighting so much that nobody could try to move his body, you see. But we went on from there. And out, we went out to that where that pillbox where the Germans had the Germans in it, and they came out with their hands over their heads like this. Four of them did, and we'd all lowered our guns. Well, the Marines were right there with them. We was a little bit farther behind them,
mm-hmm.
And they saw those. Saw those Germans had their hands down, well, they just lowered their guns. But that last man behind them that they hadn't seen was dug down behind the other four men, come up with a full automatic gun.
A German soldier came up with an automatic gun hiding behind
his buddies.
His buddies.
Yeah. And he started shooting. And then all of our men just started. Well, they killed one, the best man we had. He killed the first best man we had in our outfit. And then the others all opened fire and killed all five of them.
Did you ever see an American soldier pull a trick like that? Didn't it make you think and wonder? You know. I just wonder, American soldiers, for some reason, I don't think they would ever think to use the bodies of their buddies as a shield.
No. My lieutenant and I, somehow or another, got separated from the whole outfit. This is a big field up here, and our men are all around in the woods. Down here's Germans, you know, the woods. Mm-hmm. And they started shooting at us because we was in the middle of it. But we found a pillbox. I mean, not a pillbox, but it had a place where they had a dugout where you get in get below the ground level. So me and the lieutenant got in it. Didn't say a word. We stayed in there and I'm shooting everything at us. Finally, they kind of slowed up under shooting, and the lieutenant said, "Let's get out of here." He got up on the bank. This, he stood up on the bank, I come up over here, and a shell busted. It was 88.
Mm-hmm.
Cut him in two right here. His body fell down, and I knew he's dead. And I'm alive in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of a big open field.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood there for a minute, and I'm shooting at me. And I go, "What am I going to do?"
What would you have done if you were Charles Beale? This is The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll find out in just a minute.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book, World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half. Soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor. And read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. You know, I get emails from people that say they've bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323. Or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or call 865-525-2323. Or you can pick them up at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. Copies can be purchased as individual shows, multiple copies of the same show, or as a series. What better way to share time with the kids than by listening to the experiences of people who actually lived through historic events, like the Battle of the Bulge, World War I, Knoxville during the Civil War, Vietnam as told by soldiers who were there, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Afghanistan, and Islam in the 20th century. Each show is hosted by the Veteran Next Door host, Randy Baxter, describing the history-making events and introducing you to people who experienced the event firsthand. Purchase the shows one at a time or in sets by topic or mix and match to suit your learning need. For a list of available shows, call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Are you a licensed life insurance agent anywhere in the United States? Are you a Medicare specialist? Final expense agent, captive agent, or independent broker? I have a software package that you're going to want. It's by Estate Docs Pro, and it allows you to establish a revocable living trust for your clients, and you become their go-to person for estate planning and financial planning. You can get a free 30-day trial of this software with training, and all you have to do is ask. You can call me at 865-525-2323, or you can email me at randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com or www.estatepositioningservices.com. Get your 30-day trial, get your training on how to set this up, and watch your income go up. Remember, there's absolutely no cost to you as the agent to learn this software program. No commitment, no obligation. But once you see how it works, you're going to be glad you made the call. Call 865-525-2323 or get in touch with Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Now back to The Veteran Next Door.
Welcome back to The Veteran Next Door. Let's get back to this story.
And I stood there for a minute, and I'm shooting at me. And I go, what am I going to do? I said, I've got to run. So I stepped over his body. I didn't run toward the Americans. I ran toward the Germans because he's closer to a place where I could hide maybe down there than he was. So I started running, and they started shooting me. And I was still shooting at me. And I run down there and zigzag like this. And I run out of my second breath and I just started walking. Then I started praying. And you can pray when them bullets are hitting over there.
Sure you can.
And I just quit praying. I mean, I just quit running, walking, and the bullets going pew, 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 pew. But I made it to the woods. So I went in over the woods, and there's one of my buddies out there in the field. The whole cheek of this right here cut off. And the medic is out there doctoring him. He's laying on his belly there. He's cussing the Germans out in the middle field.
They literally shot his butt off, didn't they?
Yeah. So I knew if I stayed there, I had a gun in my hand, see?
Mm-hmm.
I knew if I stayed there, they were going to kill me. So I run. I don't know why I run that way. I run this way. And left him there. Of course, he had a medic with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Germans normally wouldn't shoot the medic or shoot a wounded man. So So I went on down there, and there was one of our men out in the field. The BAR, that's Browning automatic
rifle.
A whole lot heavier than that.
Yeah.
So he's out there with it cocked in his hand, and he's got a hand grenade in his hand with a trigger pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Cussing the Germans. And he said, come out of there. There's a pillbox in there. What? The pillbox back in there, and there's a hole where they go in there on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was five stories down that you went into.
Wow.
So we started that way, and then I realized that there's two German pillboxes right behind us. And why they didn't shoot us, I don't know. But we went in there, then some of the other fellows come in there and got the light, and there's no light, electricity in there, because it's 300 feet from there down to where you've got a turn, and then you got steps going up five stories up to the pillbox on top.
Mm-hmm.
But we got in the middle in there, and people kept coming, putting light matches to paper. Wasn't long till the paper would go out. Couldn't get it matched to that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd used up all the oxygen in there.
Oh my gosh.
But one of our men happened to go down in one room that had a thing in there to turn.
It had a pump in it, didn't it? Huh.
Broke. It had electricity all through it, but of course the German turned it off. But anyhow, we went through there and went five stories up, and me and one of the boys, myself, going up there in it. In that pillbox, we knew they were shooting at us.
Mm-hmm.
So he went down, and I got in and stayed up there on the second floor. And after a while, I heard something, bang, 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 falling down through the place where they had fresh air coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a grenade. It went off. Now that room wasn't no bigger than that X there.
The grenade went off in the room you were in?
Yeah. But they had it set up to come, the tube down there, that head grenade would fall down through, and where it would stop down here, it had a way of stopping the shrapnel. And I never got a bit, I never saw it hit anything. But it was just that close to me.
Now, was that a German hand grenade? Or an American hand grenade coming down that chute?
It was American.
It sounded like one.
That's exactly what it was, yeah. But
oh
I never
gosh.
Found out who it was.
Yeah, well. So y'all had come in the back door and Americans were coming down the chimney.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was a terrible thing, but. Oh, Lord. One little village, we was fighting the Germans, and all the families got out of. And they got out and left everything just like it was in the kitchen and everywhere else. So we got enough men standing around out there that some of us would take a nap on the floor. You don't get in the bed, you know, on the floor. And anyhow, they said, move out. We're going to get hit. So I picked up everything but one grenade. I couldn't find it. I had it laying there somewhere, but I was in a hurry. I got out with the rest of us, and we were gone for a few hours, and then we come back and we pushed the Germans back out. And that where we had been, the woman had a little boy, a little girl, and she'd come back while we was gone. And they found it, the little boys found it, and a hand grenade in it, and pulled a pin on it, and killed both of them. We could fight and go on, but.
Well, another casualty of war.
Yeah. But there's so much things like that, so many things like that, it is terrible.
When did you find you were able to start talking about that? Did you talk about it when you came home? Or?
Oh, certainly.
Well, why? Why not?
I didn't want to get in my mind.
Yeah, just block it out.
Yeah, yeah. And I started drinking. And I drank pretty heavy. You didn't find me out here drunk but I had other things to keep my mind on it. And the preacher, a teacher at the VA, got me one time, and he said, "Do you ever talk about what you've been into?" I said, "Well, I ain't gonna tell nobody about all that old stuff." He said, "You talk to somebody about it." And he kept telling me that. Finally, I got talking to somebody, and it helped me.
Yes, it did.
I got to talking about it, and then my drinking left me.
Your drinking left you?
I left it.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. It's hard to hold things in like that. And coming out of World War II, they didn't offer you guys a lot of treatment. I mean, they didn't. They just would say you were shell shocked, or they would say, different things. But they didn't actually treat the soldiers, or debrief them, or help them.
Our captain first went in combat. In the first day, got a shot right straight through his hand.
Oh, God. That's a million-dollar wound.
He was in charge of the whole company.
Yeah.
Never did see him more.
No, no. Then who took his place?
We had 9 different company commanders in just a short period of time. But now, he was the only one that...
You had 9 company commanders in a period of 6 months?
No, less than that.
Really?
Yeah.
And they, why do you think they kept changing them?
Well, most of them got wounded.
Most of them got wounded.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a terrible
thing. Well, how did you all adjust to getting these new commanders all the time? The commanders didn't know you, so they were just there to get a job done, give you orders, and get a job done. And
they just showed up, and you knew who they were, and you did
do what they said.
Yeah. Now where I was talking about that a while ago about these Germans coming out of that pillbox when we shut finally shot them all. But anyhow, from there we went walking farther and didn't see no Germans. And we got into a field that was on a kind of hump like this, and there wasn't hardly any trees or bushes or nothing on it. Now all around it was trees, and we selected to go across the trees where there was no trees hardly. We got away over in it, and machine guns on both sides of us, and down in there began shooting at us, and they really let us have it. And my buddy, I got his picture right over there.
Yeah, that's one you showed me a minute ago.
Yeah. Him and his sergeant went off.
This picture?
Yeah, this one right here.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry, this one right here.
This is the one that had the leg wound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that the lieutenant, his officer, got killed and fell on his body. And he liked to never push his body off. Because he's already
wounded. Yeah, he had a chest wound.
And the leg broke over.
Yeah.
Shot off. So he finally got him off, and he pass out and come up. Pass out and come to. So he crawled off as far as he could. That's when that German come and found him and got him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost a lot of men in there because it was surrounded on 3 sides by Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all cleared. And when they told us all to get out of there, we ran and out in the open. And we'd run zigzag. But they were so good with those guns that they were shooting at us, bullets were hitting us right along with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good. The shells, it wasn't bullets. The shells were exploding. And one went off behind us. And the man with me, he got a shot into his leg right here. That one shot did. And it picked up a rock about that big around, hit me on my back. I had a pack on. Hit me on that pack back there and knocked me right on my face. But I got up right quick, threw my pack away. Oh, I had a fried Christmas cake in that.
You had a Christmas cake in your pack and you threw it away?
I had to.
That's funny.
And I went out to my buddy up there, and he's down on one leg, you might say. But we got out of there.
Mr. Bill, can we take a look at what's inside that box?
Yeah, you have to fight with a rifle to get one of those.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So you have to, okay. And then you've got your dog tags here.
Yeah.
And your unit pin for the 76th Infantry, was that? Or 76th Division?
76th Infantry Division.
Yeah, okay, 76th Infantry Division. And you've got a Bronze Star that you won three times.
No, they just won. That's special. This is where you're fighting three battles.
Okay.
And then they give you this because they say you're brave or something, you know.
It's time for our dedication to Charles Beall. Charles Beall was 19 years old. He carried his gear across the mountains and rivers of Germany. He crossed rivers he would drown in, fell in a large hole and got left by his company, was engaged in several firefights, witnessed several deaths of friends and comrades as they occurred, heard the escape and gunning down of three German soldiers. Following his captain's orders, sent an elderly couple out into the cold. He may have left a grenade in a house that killed a mother and her child. He went through 9 company commanders. He got trapped in a machine gun crossfire, was almost killed by an American grenade, and could have suffocated. He also lost his Christmas cake. He came home, got married, had 5 children, and then now he's a grandfather of many, many, many grandchildren. Thank you, Charles Beall, for your service in the U.S. Army, 76th Infantry Division, 1945.
Beat our jungle sweat, our bombs fell on my head. But there were always soldiers while I slept in my bed. I never was a soldier, but I played one as a child. History was good to me. I grew up free and wild. A fireman in a blown out hole held a flag and shed a tear. A soldier walked right up and said, I'll take that from here. And now we find the mass graves of those who were not free. Where were their soldiers like the ones who worked for me? I never was a soldier, but I played one as a child. History was good to me. I grew up free and wild.
You've been listening to Randall Baxter and the Veteran Next Door.